Scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 10 through 12. That's 1 Corinthians 10, verses 10 through 12. And it reads, "Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall."
Today is the day that we know of as Patriots Day. That forth after the tragic at 9/11. We take the time today to honor those who spend their lives and take their livelihood of watching over, protecting, and caring for others. But I grew up also knowing that today is Grandparents' Day. It has kind of got pushed by the wayside over the decades, but today is Grandparents' Day. And to all the grandparents out there, God bless you. You love a lot. You care a lot. And when it's time, you send them home quickly. But by your example and your devotion, you are a tremendous inspiration to your grandchildren. And I deeply appreciate it, and may God bless all of our grandparents. When Daniel Webster wanted to give a person the impression that he remembered him, but he couldn't recall his name, a problem that I have a lot, or he couldn't remember where they met, he would just simply ask, "How is my old complaint?" Most of the time it worked. 9 out of 10 times that person would tell him of a grievance that he had brought to him, and of course then he would remember who that person was. Sometimes it seems that we have nothing to say if we didn't complain about something. Everywhere we go, no matter what it is, we can find a way to complain. Trying to get down Woodruff Road yesterday afternoon, I had a lot to complain about. When you're standing in the checkout line at the grocery store with one line open and 60 people in line, you got a lot to complain about. Especially when the only thing you got in your hand is ice cream. You complain about waiting in the doctor's office. You complain about work. You complain at home, and you even complain on vacation. In the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 10, Paul tells us the lessons that we can learn from Israel's mistakes. One of those mistakes was complaining. And there were reasons why Israel complained. And we need to know those reasons, and we need to learn from those reasons, that we can temper ourselves. I think when we read the account of Israel leaving Egypt, we can't help but see where they had some really rough times. In Exodus 15 and verses 22 through 26, 3 days after they had left the Red Sea behind them and that great miracle that God performed in saving them from Pharaoh, they were in the wilderness, and they didn't have any water. Now, can you imagine over 1 million people together and no water? It probably quickly ended once they hit the wilderness and started traveling. But they came to a place called Marah, and here they found that the waters were very bitter, and they started to complain. Now, it wasn't anything about the water other than it just didn't taste good. It was bitter. Well, God gave them that solution, but that didn't keep them from complaining. They complained primarily because they didn't believe God. In the 106th verse of Psalms, in verses 24 and 25, the psalmist, speaking about this, he said, "Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word. They murmured in their tents. They hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord." You know, they didn't believe God when he said he was going to take them to the promised land. Are we any different? When our lives get tough, when things are going badly, we too complain because we do not believe God. In Matthew chapter 6 in the Beatitudes, Jesus preached a sermon about these very things in verses 25 through 34. He preached about the worries of life, all those things that we seem to concern ourselves with, that we go out and we strive to get more and more money, to have more and more of these things. We concern ourselves with all these things and we gripe and we worry and we complain. These things oftentimes tempt us to do the things contrary to God's will so that we can have them. But in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, Paul said that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Everything that we face on this earth, the things that we are tempted with, everybody is tempted with the same things. It's not something strange. It's not something new. It's something that we have. But he says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. At some point in our lives, each and every one of us are going to have hard times. But complaining does not make hard times easier. It makes them harder. If we truly believe God, if we say and we tell ourselves we are God's children, we shouldn't have the need to feel like we need to complain. When I look around and see our brethren whose knees are failing, who is in pain, who on a great day might have a level of pain of a 7, but they still have a smile on their face, and they still say that they're doing well, it makes me hard to complain about that little crick in my neck. We shouldn't feel the need to complain. We should feel the need to get on our knees and pray when our times get tough. Someone once said, when in deep water, it's a good idea to keep the mouth shut. Israel also had a problem of looking back. Exodus chapter 16. They find themselves again in another rough spot. They were kind of looking at what they had for themselves in the past. In verses 2 through 8, they were hungry. And they looked back to Egypt when there was plenty for them to eat. The rewards of a promised land was starting to grow hazy in their minds. And they were beginning to complain again about God. We oftentimes complain when we look back, do we not? We look at the situation that our nation is in and we look back. We look back at the good old days. We look back at the days of our youth. And we say those were the good old days, but what made them so good was that we had no responsibilities that we have today. We and the people of Israel, They've lost sight of the progress that they've made. And we do the same thing. We lose sight of our progress. We dwell on the past. We oftentimes complain because the Christian walk is hard. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, why would Jesus say something like that? We cannot look back and expect to plow a straight row. We can't. Our lines start getting crooked. As Christians, when we look back, we get crooked lives because we are not focused on the hope that is set before us. When we complain about how things used to be, we fail to see the growth and the changes in our lives. We lose sight of the goal. How many of us complain when we don't get what we want? I deserve that. I should have that. That should be the life that I have. Israel had this very problem in Numbers chapter 11 in the first 9 verses. Again, we find them whining. Because of their whining, God got a little upset. And fire from the Lord started to consume them. Israel was very fortunate, though. They had a man in their midst by the name of Moses who had a very good relationship with God, and Moses interceded on their behalf. God stopped, but the complaining did not. It was not that they lacked food, but it was because they lacked the kind of food that they wanted. They were used to having the cucumbers and the melons and this and that, and here they were eating birds and bread. They all had their strength. They had water to drink. They had something to keep their bellies full. They had all the manna that they could gather. Every single day. And they didn't have to go 20 miles to the grocery store to get it. They walk right outside their tent. Numbers 21 and verses 4 through 7 said that God sent fiery serpents among them. Again, because of food and water. It wasn't enough that God blessed them with that food, that manna from heaven, and the birds. Things to feed and fill their stomachs. Sometimes we complain when God doesn't give us what we think we deserve. Jesus, in Matthew 20, in the first 6 verses, he gives us the parable of the laborers. And the owner of this vineyard, he had went out first thing in the morning about 6 a.m. and he hired some folks to work his vineyards. And they agreed to a wage of a penny or a denarii, a day's wage. He goes out again on about noon and he sees men standing around in the marketplace with their hands in their pockets, not doing anything. And he's like, "Why aren't you working?" "Well, nobody's hired us." So he hires them. And he goes out again about 3 in the afternoon and he does the same thing, hires some more. And then he goes out at 5 o'clock in the evening, only about another hour left in the workday, and he hires some more men. Well, then it come time at the end of the day to pay his laborers. And he started paying the ones that started last. And he paid them a penny. till he got to the guys that started 6 o'clock in the morning. And they started complaining because they were only getting the same money that the guy that worked an hour got. Now, there are some valuable lessons. Wait till the end of the day for the guy to hire you. Or be up early in the morning out looking for work. No, I'm just teasing. They agreed to the wage, but they were complaining because they felt like they should have more. And of course, the parable really isn't about us getting a wage per se. It is about salvation. That it's never too late to gain salvation. But see, these men, they thought they deserved more because they worked through the heat of the day. And they worked all day. You know, just because we think we deserve something does not make it so. If we don't get what we want, we shouldn't complain. Instead, we should be thankful what God has given us. There's a man by the name of Dr. David Soper. He wrote a book, God is Inescapable. And here in this book, he suggests that basically the difference between a prison and a monastery is just the difference between griping and attitude. Gratitude. Imprisoned criminals spend every waking moment griping. Self-imprisoned saints spend every waking moment offering thanks. Dr. Soper says in his book that when the criminal becomes a saint, his prison becomes a monastery. And when the saint gives up gratitude, his monastery becomes a prison. And that is so true. Our life becomes a prison when we cease the gratitude of the blessings that God has given us. We become prisoners of the lust of the flesh. We become prisoners of the almighty dollar. We become prisoners of envy. God's people, Israel, complained because they got sick of God's leadership. In Numbers chapter 12, in the first 9 verses, Aaron and Miriam were speaking against Moses' marriage to an Ethiopian woman. They were doing these things in an attempt to discredit him as a leader. His own flesh and blood. God was not happy. We know beyond a shadow that it was Moses who God chose to lead Israel, not Aaron. Aaron was a mouthpiece. Moses' family should have been helping him and standing with him instead of criticizing him and turning against him. In Numbers chapter 16, we see Korah. And there were others along with Korah that they thought they could do the job that Moses was doing better. The result of that way of thinking ended disastrously for them. People turn from God's leadership when they no longer want His will to be done. Instead, they want their own will to be done. Now, we can find this in a lot of different places in a lot of different ways. Some is very subtle. Others are not. When one comes and considers that our worship is boring, I've got to seek and find something that's more entertaining. The problem does not resolve within the church and the boring service as much as within ourselves. For any time that we gather together to worship God and to remember the sacrifices of our Lord and Savior, If we find those things boring, we need to look within ourselves to see what the problem is with us, not the church. Worship is that. Worship. It's not entertainment. It's not entertainment. Too many today turn their back on God so they can have their religion their way. Some want to turn away from the apostolic authority that we find in the Bible. Paul confronted this issue in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. Paul said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The apostles in the first century expected Christians to follow their example, to obey the things that they have set forth. This wasn't their ideas. This didn't come from their minds. This came from God. They were God's mouthpiece. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3 in verses 7 and 9, he said, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. They were obedient to the very end. Wherever God sent them, they went. They didn't complain. They didn't gripe. They didn't say, God, I've got a better way of doing this. Do you realize there was only really three modes of travel back then? If you could get there by boat, you were doing good. If you had a camel, you were doing good. If not, it was Shoe Leather Express. You couldn't catch a plane, train, or automobile to go anywhere. I can be anywhere on this earth in 15 hours. And yet we complain. Because I have to drive 5 miles or 10 miles to church when it's raining. Brethren, some will even attack God's servants to discredit those who want to hold on to the truth. The church is under attack all the time. Because we don't want to give up what we've been delivered. We want to hold to those things. I mentioned this story a couple of times before. I mentioned it because I like it. Because it has a really good message when it comes sometimes to the complaints that you hear. There was a farmer that advertised a frog farm for sale. Now, if some of you heard it, don't give away the punchline. And he advertised that this pond that he had was stocked full of bullfrogs. And a prospective buyer had appeared and was taken out late one evening to the pond that he might hear the frogs. And the music that he heard made a favorable impression on the prospective buyer, and the sale was made. Soon afterwards, when the buyer had taken possession of the land, he proceeded to drain the pond in order to harvest the frogs. Now, frog legs are really good, Pam. To his surprise, when the water drained, he found all that noise was made by one old bullfrog. All was there. Just one old bullfrog. Oftentimes in the Lord's church, well, there seems to be a lot of problems. Most of the time, it's only caused by a very small few. Just the ones that are croaking the loudest. We can't complain about God's way or God's leadership. It's our place as God's children, as His adopted children, to obey, not to change God's word. We must allow God's word to change us, not the other way around. Paul in Philippians 2 and verse 14, he says something that I always have a hard time with this verse. Not because I don't agree with it, but because it's so hard to do. Do all things without murmurings or disputings. I can murmur and Vicky be at the other end of the house and hear it. She could be two walls away and say, I see that expression on your face. I'm exaggerating. But you tell me, guys, if I'm wrong or not. Doing all things without murmurings and disputings or murmurings and complaining is extremely hard for all of us. But it's not pleasing to God. And in our Christian walk, it's the one thing that we should be working the hardest to improve upon. We need to do everything to avoid complaining. There's not a collar around my neck. And we don't have a confessional off to the side that you're required to come in here and do these things. Also, the church is not the complaint department. Because oftentimes what we complain about and what we are upset about and things could be very easily settled by dealing it one-on-one. Sometimes we avoid doing this because we're afraid of confrontation. We don't want to stir up the pot. It's always easier to have somebody else grab hold of the spoon to stir that pot. But when we hand things off, when we complain about things, all it does is show a lack of trust in God. It shows us that we fail to see the good in our lives, that we are having that attitude of selfishness, or we are having a desire to go our own way. And the sad part of it is, complaining is a sin that can lead to our destruction. Yes, we can complain about this, we can complain about that. But at the end of the day, of all the complaints that we have, how much did we actually resolve and settle? Probably not much at all. God does not like complaining, especially amongst His people. Because we need to place our trust fully and solely in His hands. If there is anyone here this morning who is not or has not obeyed the gospel, we would love to give you that opportunity this morning. God gave us a very simple plan of salvation. Something so simple that oftentimes we fail to realize just how simple He made things, and expedient. and still man tries to shortcut. But you must believe. That is a prerequisite, because no one who does not believe would ever even be here. But you must believe. You must repent for your sins. You must make that choice today that you are going to turn your life around, put the past behind you, and live for Him. Confess Him before men that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And from that day forward, make the choice of following Him to the best of your ability. God's not asking for you to be perfect before you come to Him. On the contrary, that will never happen, because there's not a single soul sitting in this room today that is even still perfect. And we are all the same. But we are working and trying to the best of our ability to obey our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God our Father. If you have that desire this morning, we want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you need to make a public confession of something and get your life back with God and a good rapport with God. Or maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation. For whatever reason, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing.